Jim Pasko and Tom Fassbender met in the comic book industry. In 1996, they founded Uglytown Productions. They created a bowling alley murder mystery called By the Balls, ostensibly written by Dashiell Lovelace. First run as a serial on their Uglytown website. Since then, Uglytown has gone on to publish the work of noted authors such as Sean Doolittle, author of Dirt and Burn, Kurt Colbert, Nathan Walpow, and Mark T. Conrad. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Glad to be here.
Now, you gentlemen met in the comic book industry. What were you doing?
I was working in distribution. I was editing and a catalog. It was kind of like what's coming up, what's hot, what's new. And I was doing a number of interviews and things like that that ran in this catalog as a retail aide.
And you're Tom, right?
That's correct. I'm Tom.
Sorry.
Hi, I'm Jim. And we were basically gadflies, trying to sort of make our way as writers as we worked different jobs, both, as Tom said, in distribution, in marketing, and things like that, trying to find our way to get to this holy light at the end of the tunnel.
Which holy light was?
To be a writer.
To be a writer.
To tell our stories.
And what brought you to found Uglytown? How did you get together to write a pulp mystery?
Well, for a number of years, we would get together in bars where we tend to hang out and commiserate with each other about the state of the industry and always come up with the kind of solution that the world would be a much better place if everybody would just listen to us. And so after many years of saying this, we finally decided, you know what? Let's just put our money where our mouth is and let's do it ourselves.
It became this idea that this empowerment idea that instead of it being we need to find somebody who will pay us a lot of money to do what it is that we want to do, we thought, well, we have the ability to do exactly what we dream. We have the ability to listen to each other, to tell the stories that we want to tell, to create the kind of product and the kind of book that we love to read, and we just refuse to let anything stand in our way of that vision.
So when you started, were you intending to be a web-only serial site, or were you intending to go to print?
We always intended to go to print with By the Balls. That was the idea was we were writers, of stuff. We wrote stuff. We wrote, I don't know if you need a Bible or a treatment or a screenplay, whatever you need, we would write it. And it was hard to kind of get people on board with that. So we decided we needed a writing sample, something that was in essence a big business card that we could go, and people would say, oh, what have you done? Well, we've done this. So that's kind of how we started writing the book. And then as we moved along, we were having such a good time, and thought, this is a book, why don't we publish it in a traditional fashion and get it out there? As long as we have this product, let's see what we can do with it.
It was a bigger business card then.
It was a little thick. But it really sort of helped establish who we were and ultimately who we would become as publishers, because it was all about our love of telling stories and trying to get that into the hands of readers. And so even when we made the inevitable jump a few years later and said, well, this publishing company that we sort of found ourselves creating out of necessity, it's an entity of itself that now could really be used to get other writers who are like-minded, that have stories to tell. We can become the vehicle for those stories, and we can do them in a way that, as writers ourselves, we understand what the priorities are. We understand what their dreams are, and we want to be able to use our experience. At the time, perhaps humble, and now, getting maybe a little less humble, we can use that experience to bring this family of writers together and unite them with readers, so that that they can be as excited as we are when we first read the manuscripts.
Your influences are definitely in pulp and hard-boiled fiction and comics, obviously.
Yes.
Could you talk about how you went from writing for comics, and I understand, too, you wrote for commercials and writing whatever you could, to writing a hard-boiled mystery and then into publishing? Take us through that journey a little bit.
That's a good question. And it was fairly circuitous. The grand story is the story of Dashiell Lovelace, who's the fictional author of By the Balls. I mean, we had a story for him, and it was a story that we've had for a while. And it started out as a comic book. And when we decided to start this going down the road of Ugly Town, we thought, okay, this is probably the strongest idea we have. This is the most fleshed out. This is the one we're most excited about to write. And we started to write that story. And the whole idea, if you're, as we've kind of spelled out in By the Balls, is that Dashiell Lovelace is a writer of pulp fiction. And so as we were writing Dashiell Lovelace's story, we kind of got hung up on, like, well, we can't really write Dashiell Lovelace's story until we know what the stories are that he wrote. So almost as like a writing exercise, a writer's block freeing exercise, we decided to go and write the story that he wrote. And we had such a fun time with it. And very much, as you said, he's grounded in the world of Hammett and Chandler and Woolrich and these great classic noir pulp writers, and so we decided, let's write this book, and we had such a good time with it that that's kind of where we started.
We found ourselves, Tom used the word exercise, and I think that's something that we say a lot, because what really happened was, like a lot of young writers, we wanted to write the great American novel, or we wanted to write a book that was important, that people would respect, and that's what we had this idea for, and of course, you know, we had big ideas, and we didn't have a whole lot of experience, and we found that it was very difficult. And so, as Tom said, when we had this idea of like, oh, let's write this sort of nonsense book By the Balls as an exercise, we found ourselves sort of freed up, because in many ways we almost started writing it as like, well, it doesn't have to be good.
Yeah, we thought, like, we'll write a book and it'll be bad.
That's not
a good idea.
And that was part of like the shtick. We were like, we'll just write it and it'll be trashy. And we were even thinking, like, let's make it intentionally bad. And then all of a sudden, what happened is that kind of freedom just opened us, opened up our talents and our ability, our mind, and all of a sudden we were just cranking on this book, and we started to kind of like it, and we started to sort of like start feeling like, maybe we shouldn't make this so bad. Maybe we should try to make it actually good. That's a pretty neat idea. Maybe I think
somebody might actually want to read it.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And so I think that like it was that. That idea that made us appreciate more than ever, and certainly, we grew up reading science fiction and mysteries and things like that, but it was here that we kind of discovered, I think, a little bit of a hidden gem, and I think that this secret is starting to get out of the bag. I think J.G. Ballard knows it. I think Dave Edgars knows it. I think that, a lot of these, Michael Chabon knows it, and that is that there is a power in genre fiction, and there's a reason that genres exist, and it's not to only sell to a very small niche market. It's because these stories have a meatiness to it that allow you to talk about things in a way that perhaps is not super serious, but somehow gets to a more real truth. I'm not going to try to say that By the Balls is a philosophical essay or anything like that, but I think that By the Balls captures who Tom and I are, and it really does speak to something, and in a way that if we tried to write something seriously, we probably wouldn't have been as serious, if that makes any sense.
It does. Could you talk about the collaborative process?
Well, Tom writes all the verbs and adverbs, and I write all the nouns. And,
I like the gerunds.
Yeah, and so, you know, we're just kidding here. We're having some fun on the radio, people. Calm down. We're big fans of bar talk and oral storytelling and sitting around with a couple drinks and spinning yarns, you know, raconteurs, if you will. It seems sort of natural for Tom and I to sit down with an idea and entertain each other
and some drinks.
You know, and really sort of say like, well, what if this happened and what if that happened? And we find that there's a way that our storytelling becomes, you know, a lot less staid and dry and structured, because it's sort of built on this verbal excitement, and by doing that, we're able to get outlines that feel like not only can we agree on them, but they're a little more organic, and really sort of at that point it's a lot easier to just throw chapters back and forth. And we truly believe that the key to good collaboration is an absence of ego, and believe me, the people out there can know for a certainty that we have very, very large egos. I mean, the microphone's getting a little crowded out here because of our egos. But really, the point is that when we work together, when we sit down, it is not about competing with each other. It is not about, I got to impress Tom because, you know, he's not going to think I'm a very good writer. It is about, I trust in his abilities so much that I can be vulnerable on a page and open up, knowing that Tom will work his magic and make that better. And
vice versa. It gets to a point where you get like every writer gets stuck on an idea, on a concept, on a word, what have you, and it gets to the point that you can agonize over that, and you can sit there and you can stare at the computer, stare at the blank page, and not know what to do. Where do I go? What do I say? What's next? But in the collaboration process, it's easy to go. Put some brackets, color, do a red color, do a highlight, whatever, and say like something happens here, kind of like this, but I don't quite know how to get from this point to where I'm going. What do you think? And then when I'll hand it over to Jim will go, oh, I get where you're going. I think like, how about this works? And then at that point, these sticking points we have, we'll knock it back and forth. And I'll be like, that's close, but not quite what I'm thinking. I was thinking more like this. And we've had, there have been times when we're doing a scene, writing a scene, and we're throwing ideas back and forth, and it's always it's like, what about this concept? We're like, no, that's not quite right. But when it's right, it's right. We both go, that's it. That's perfect. That's exactly what we want that to be.
We try to really take this idea of collaboration that we have built upon as writers ourselves with our two mystery novels, our work on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and comics, which we've done, and try to bring that to the table in our publishing company, so that while we don't claim to be the co-writers of all of the books that we put out, we sort of have that camaraderie with our authors to know that, like, Once we accept your book into our company, it's no longer about like, you need to impress us or you need to show off. It's about, let's get the best book out of you as possible. And if that means, being open with us and talking about, what you don't like about the book, what you feel like the book lacks, let's both use our experience and then the experience of other authors in our house, in our family, that we can talk to, we can have a discussion about trying to make the best book possible.
For publishers of noir and hard-boiled fiction, your books have a kind of gentle sweetness to them. You call yourselves Ugly Town, but your books aren't ugly. They're fascinating. They're hard-edged, but they're not, I guess evil is the word I'd use, or ugly.
We are working on that.
It's hard. Evil is not easy. People think that it is, but it's not. We love books, and we always want to make books that, like you say, people like. They like to read. They like to pick up. They feel good. They look good. We spend a lot of time agonizing over cover design, book design, just the little nuances, everything that goes down to letter spacing and letting that most people aren't going to notice. But we're really perfectionistic when it comes to designing these books, and they turn out great because of it, and they really resonate with people. People like the way the books look. They like the way they feel, and that makes us really happy.
Could you talk about how you bring authors to your publishing company? I mean, you were publishing yourself. You wrote your first book, By the Balls, and your second book. Could you tell us how you made the leap to bringing in more authors under Ugly Town?
Sure. That was actually fairly easy, because there are a lot of authors out there who are – they're, you know, they need to be – they want to be published. And once we started branching out and getting known – we just started getting submissions. We didn't even really have to do a call for submissions. We didn't have to beg people to send us manuscripts.
It was probably day one. Like, the By the Balls came out, and, like, you know, we went to the mail. I was like, what's this? It's a submission. You know,
And if I remember, that submission was particularly nutty. That particular guy.
They were a little tough to weed through in the early days, let's just say. But, you know, I mean, basically, I mean, right away with getting those number of submissions, after having a few chuckles on some of the maybe less polished of them, it was really eye-opening to read a manuscript, or, you know, really a small sample of writing, which is usually what we ask for, and kind of like look at each other and go, you know, this isn't really bad. This is pretty. I want to read more of this, and then being able to ask for the manuscript and say, like, wow, this is something that I like. I can get behind. Again, I think that going now to where we are, where we get, you know, just so many submissions, we need to have an intern sort of sort through them. It's we're a little slow on the uptake in terms of getting back to people on that stuff because we still believe in reading through this stuff and trying to find that gem, but it pays off. You know, it's when we can find those books like, you know, Sean Doolittle's Dirt and Victor Gisler's Gun Monkeys and Kurt Colbert's Rat City. I mean, these are books that have done very well for us, and are books that we believe in and believed in right from the beginning.
Tell us a little bit about your anthology you did with Sisters in Crime, who Sisters in Crime are, and how you got hooked up with them.
We joined an organization called Sisters in Crime. We joined the Los Angeles chapter. They're a national organization that promotes women in mysteries, whether it's reading mysteries, writing mysteries, editing mysteries, whatever role there is in the publishing field, it promotes women in those roles. And it's a great organization. And we went to, I think it was even our first meeting, and they had this anthology that they've been putting together as kind of a, you know, showcase of the talent that was in the Los Angeles chapter. And they were looking for a publisher. And this was right at a time when we'd been considering, we'd done our first two books, By the Balls and Five Shots and a Funeral. And we were considering expanding our line, and we thought this would be a good kind of jumping off point for that. It was, it was stories we believed in. One of the stories was Nathan Walpo's Push Comes to Shove, which was picked as one of the best American mystery stories of 2001. And we just went ahead and, we worked with these, we worked with the writers and the editors to make the book, figure out what they wanted the book to look like. And it was, in many ways, it was our first, it was a good learning experience. It was the first book that we did that wasn't ours, and we had a good time.
I'm wondering if you could talk about the choice of setting up a publisher in L.A. as opposed to New York. Why you made that choice?
West Side rules!
Because we like sunshine, and we lived in L.A., and you know, especially like in the old days, New York was the place to be for publishing. But that's not true anymore. There are so many publishers on the West Coast that, location doesn't matter. Federal Express, UPS, Priority Mail, all that, all these modern, the internet especially, all these modern conveniences have made the necessity of having a publishing house in New York kind of obsolete.
Could you talk about, you're two guys, you've got this book you want to publish, you want to print it. How did you pick your printer? Are you still with that printer? How do you get to the point from having a manuscript to having a published book?
Well, you know, we have a, you know, part of our sort of vast and varied comic book experience, is what we like to call it, was working in different capacities in the publishing realm. You know, we've already mentioned distribution, but one of the things that that we have done as sort of odd jobs was graphic design and printing. And so we sort of knew, we knew some printers who were mainly comic book printers, but it was enough for us to know the kind of questions that we needed to ask. And again, we didn't have all of the questions by any means, but allowed us to you know, pick up a phone book and, you know, call some printers and say, hey, you know, can you print books and can you follow these specs and how much is it going to cost? And you know, we found a printer early on that that did essentially what we needed them to do. It was actually very challenging for By the Balls because, and this is radio, so I can't show it to you, but it's our first two books are designed like pulp artifacts. They're designed to be 1947 books down to the cover design, which is garish, the sort of old style typography inside, to, you know, the
flimsy paper. We needed a flimsy paper that, unlike other books that we've done since, that have a nice, like, acid-free stock, that we needed something that was really designed to decay.
And the challenges in dealing with printers who would say, like, oh, you know, for just a little bit more money, I can give you this very classy paper, and this, I can tell this book that you're putting together is going to be a collectible, you know, and blah blah. And we're like, no, you don't understand. We want the book to fall apart. We want the book to get yellow, and we want it to be sun damaged, and, like, you know, that is part of what we're creating. It's you know, in this, like, sort of time capsule-esque thing. That is not what we're, you know, trying to do with our contemporary books, and we've been lucky to, through in the process of printing several books, find a printer that we feel very comfortable with, who, you know, matches a good price, but maintains a very high level of quality, in terms of their ability to print, because we really feel that that is one of the main areas in which we can be truly competitive with the big boys in New York. You know, we don't have the money that they have. We don't have the manpower that they have. We may not even yet have the distribution that they have, in terms of the machinery. But what we do have is every single ounce of quality and design and aesthetic and style that they have, and more so. And that's what puts our books at the very least on a competitive level with them. And we really honestly feel and believe better than them.
Could you talk about your distribution? How did you choose it? Where are you available?
We are nationally available. We're distributed by a company called Words out of Oakland, California. Great people. They actually chose us. We were in the process of shopping around, looking at different distributors, and they came to us and said, hey, we like your product. We would like to distribute your books, which is really the dream position for anybody to be in who's, when you're looking at this vast sea of distributors and trying to go through the process of selling yourself to them, to have somebody come up and go, we want you. It was great. And we've been with them for 3 years. Time blends together. Yeah. These book seasons really play with your head when you're working 6 to 8, 10 months in the future.
They have done very well by us, and you know, it's very clear to us. It became clear a long while ago, actually, that we probably would not be in business still if it wasn't for Words. They have really gone a long way to making our books available specifically to the independent book market, which is our bread and butter.
Your books have a slightly peculiar convention. That would be people this mystery is about. And what this mystery is about. Tell us why and what you do with those.
Again, that came from, that was something that the Dell Mapbacks, with these pulp books from the 40s that we kind of recreated by the balls and five shots in their image. That's something that they did in all of their books. And we spent a lot of time, as we started branching out and publishing other people, we spent a lot of time in bookstores, both chains and independents, watching people shop for books and how they did that and what they looked for. And people will pick up a book, and most books have some kind of random excerpt from the middle of the book in the front page, sometimes heavily edited down. And while that's interesting and there's nothing wrong with that, we really found that people responded better to something that was more concise, that was like a cast list or kind of a real quick bulleted point, something they could glance at real quick and go, oh, I get it. This looks interesting. So
it becomes entertaining in and of itself.
Right. There's that never ceases to get somebody to crack a smile. There's always something humorous in those first couple of pages, and people like it. We get a lot of feedback that's a great feature.
Could you talk a little bit about your stable of authors, who you have right now, and maybe what we can expect in the future from you?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got you pointed out a couple at the beginning of the program. Sean Doolittle, who's written Dirt and Burn, both crime novels set in Los Angeles. There's Kurt Colbert, who has written for us Rat City and Sayonaraville, two 1947 period noir mysteries set in and around Seattle. Our newest book that just came out that's available is Mark Kennard's Dark as Night, which is a pretty gritty mean streets of Philadelphia,
it's like The Sopranos if it were on the Food Network. It's the main character is named Morris White, and he's a sous chef at a fancy French Philadelphia eatery. And he gets involved with the criminal underbelly when his half-brother gets out of prison, and he tries to help a guy out, and instead, just starts going down that long, dark, spiraling path.
He's trying to escape his past, but it's catching up to him fast.
In the future, we have a bunch of books that we could talk about that we're really excited about. One is called Queer Street. It's the third book in the Seattle pulp series that we're doing by Kurt Colbert, that follows Rat City and Sayonaraville. And Kurt is just a tremendous writer, and someone who's writing never ceases to just charm me and thrill me. And we're very excited about that book, and that will be his first hardcover. The first two books were original paperback. We also have a book later this year called Kill Whitey by a first-time author named Ken Harville, and this is about as whacked and words I can't use on the radio to describe how insane this book is. It's reading the book is like taking acid. It is just trippy and crazy and violent and wonderful in all those regards. Another thing.
The big news at this show anyway is we are going to be publishing the trade paperback edition of Eddie Muller's The Distance, which was a award-winning, also a period piece in the 40s set in San Francisco about a boxing reporter who kind of, again, a regular guy gets in over his head.
It seems like a really appropriate matchup for you guys.
Yeah, we're really excited about that.
The day we met Eddie, we were just sort of like, why is this guy not in our publishing company? I like to think that Eddie has always thought the same thing, that he has, always sort of thought, well, it's really great that I've got this publisher over here, but Ugly Town's really my boys, the chance to publish his stuff is just so thrilling, and we're extremely excited, and we hope that the readers will be as excited as we are.
We've been speaking with Jim Pasco and Tom Fassbender, founders of Ugly Town Publications. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Tom?
Thank you.